So the uneasy embrace of slavery in colonial America produced an economic boom. It rendered the founders' debates over freedom from kings and despots questionable distortions of truth and logic. Slavery enshrined racism in the U.S. Constitution and made the Civil War inevitable. The war itself created an identity for the United States from which there is no escape, even though it seems from time to time that the Civil War blinks out in relevance. The USA, why, they're the winners of World War II, right? Savior of Europe and Japan. Winner of the Cold War. Scarred by Vietnam, partially redeemed by the Civil Rights Movement, confused and frustrated, perhaps, by Iraq and Afghanistan. But the Civil War? Where is that history? Where is that identity? Well, it's as close as our own mirrors, says Ta-Nehisi Coates, senior editor for The Atlantic and author of The Beautiful Struggle, A Father, Two Sons, and an Unlikely Road to Manhood. We welcome him back to the program. Ta-Nehisi, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, John.
I would urge people to check out your article on the Civil War in The Atlantic. It's really a very beautiful, passionate, and provocative piece. And let's just begin with two pieces of it, because I want you to explain as much as possible in the short time that we have. You describe a very personal mission to find out where you, as an African-American, fit into that history of the Civil War. And also you describe the kind of Black History Month approach to historical figures in the African-American community as creating a sort of disembodied quality to history that you want to reverse. Explain.
Well, I think I'll take the last portion of that first. One of the things that happens with Black History Month, as well intended as it is you get a setup in which you get famous first and famous blacks and who did this, you know, who's first, you know, you get the Peanut Man. You know, it's very easy to caricature. But what you don't get is the kind of texture. You don't get the narrative. You don't get the story, which is really what the Civil War is all about. In terms of that second part, the personal mission was just after I read James McPherson's Battle Cry of Freedom, the feeling of knowing before I read that book that the Civil War was sort of about slavery, but then having finished it, not knowing how much it was about slavery and seeing it as really the origin story for modern Black America.
Let's talk about that. You describe that the first generation of the real civil rights activists in the United States came directly out of the Civil War, and that's a piece of history that you're not likely necessarily to learn. How did you learn it?
I learned it. Well, first, actually, I learned it backwards because I read about Reconstruction and then I read about the Civil War. And that was actually what carried me into the Civil War, reading about Reconstruction. So much of the political leadership came out of the Civil War. I mean, the obvious one is Frederick Douglass, of course. But you had a lot of folks who had served as colored soldiers who ended up taking prominent places in terms of the political leadership in their community. Some of them even serving in Congress, I believe, and one or two actually served in Congress. In that first class, indeed, the first enfranchisement first came up, the first method that people talked about was giving the franchise to African American soldiers. It wasn't even African American men, but African American men who had fought in the war. So there's this powerful connection of having fought in the war and actually having the vote and exercising political leadership. We don't understand how today this notion that everybody should have a vote and everybody should it was not particularly popular in the 1850s and 1860s.
Ta-Nehisi Coates, joining us via Skype, is senior editor for The Atlantic, author of The Beautiful Struggle, A Father, Two Sons, and An Unlikely Road to Manhood, and a piece in The Atlantic that's all about a personal quest to acquire and find his place in the Civil War history in America. One of the things you talk about in this article is how whites seem ambivalent over the question of slavery as far as their approach to Civil War history is concerned, and that that evolves over time. How do you see that?
In the immediate aftermath of the Civil War, you have obviously great division between the North and the South. But in the last, I would say the latter half of the 19th century, this mission of reunion, of putting the country back together, becomes pretty central to Civil War memory. In order to make that necessary, the South has to preserve some sort of honor. There is nothing honorable about fighting for slavery. Indeed, immediately after the Civil War, the same Southerners, Jefferson Davis, for instance, Alexander Stevens, who was vice president of the Confederacy, who asserted that slavery was a moral good, immediately switched positions and said, no, we weren't. We were fighting for states' rights. The first time you start hearing about states' rights, not slavery, coming up. Northerners, in the latter half of the 19th century, decided that they could concede that point as long as, you know, the country would be unified. Having achieved that, they were willing to white Northerners to concede the historical memory of the Civil War. That had the unfortunate effect of writing African Americans right on out of the history.
You know, it also had the unfortunate effect of denying whites and blacks the moment in the war that really represented the one period in American history where, to some degree, whites and blacks shared the brutality and savagery of slavery on a battlefield. Whites understood what was going on, understood the sacrifice, understood what was at stake, and blacks did. And before and after, that was not the case.
No, it wasn't, and especially for white Northerners. There's this great book, What This Cruel War Was Over, Chandra Manning's book, where she chronicles actually white Northern soldiers who, you have to remember, for a large portion of this country, folks from Illinois, even folks by this point from Pennsylvania, New York, all of these states had had slavery at some point, didn't have it at that point. For soldiers coming from those states, Massachusetts, going into the South, they had never seen slavery up close and firsthand. And Manning chronicles in her book their reactions and their repulsions. And nothing made more abolitionists in the United States Army than seeing slavery up close and firsthand.
You describe in your article how you have quite literally dragged your family to various sites around the United States. What have you seen? What have they seen?
Well, I think the first thing is there's a basic human reaction, and that is at all these sites, it's a deep sort of sadness. And, you know, like I have obviously a tinge perspective being an African-American on that, but you can't get past that. I mean, there's no way to glamorize it, even though a significant portion of this essay is dedicated to how we remember the war and remembering that black people were emancipated from the war. 600,000 people still died. So there's that basic sort of human sadness that nothing can really erase. But on top of that, again, I think more than anything, the battle parks serve as a sort of testimony for how little the role of African Americans are remembered in the Civil War struggle. I think up to at Petersburg, which is really the last phase of the Civil War, you had something like 1 in 5 soldiers serving there were African Americans. There are very few memorials or monuments, if any, at Petersburg dedicated to African American soldiers. There's nothing at the Battle of the Crater where I was at, where, you know, it was an important battle for African American soldiers. There's no monument there to remember them.
Do you think we will ever get a more rational understanding of what the Civil War represented? How much was at stake?
Oh, we certainly will. I think we definitely are better off than we were 50 years ago. 50 years ago in 1962, when we wanted to remember the Civil War, what we did was we raised the Confederate flag over the capital of South Carolina to oppose integration. So I think we're better off today than we were.
Well, Ta-Nehisi Coates, thanks so much for taking us on your journey to understand your place in the Civil War and, by implication, all of our places. He's senior editor for The Atlantic and author of The Beautiful Struggle, A Father, Two Sons, and An Unlikely Road to Manhood. Ta-Nehisi, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Oh, down in Bowling Green, such a sight was never seen.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.